This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this show on Free Speech TV nationwide and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates. Republicans announced on Thursday that they may have a deal on health care reform and could pass a new bill to repeal and replace the Affordable Care Act by the end of this month. Moderate Republicans, wary of their constituents losing health coverage, are still a major obstacle, however. But the nation's most populous state is charging full steam ahead with a health care plan of its own. California State Senators Ricardo Lara and Tony Atkins have sponsored SB 562. It's a bill that would create a single-payer system that covers all Californians. Such a plan is akin to the federal Medicare program, but rather than covering just seniors, it would cover everyone. While there's strong public support for single-payer in California, Governor Jerry Brown has expressed skepticism about the costs of the plan. If California manages to pull off single-payer health care, the implications for a national push will be huge. My guest is Michael Leidy. He is the Director of Public Policy at National Nurses United. NNU is one of the strongest supporters of this bill. Welcome to the program, Michael.
Thank you, Sonali. Great to be here.
So first, let's talk about some of the news coming out of Washington right now. The Republican effort to repeal the Affordable Care Act had failed. Now they're trying again. They say they might be very close to a deal. And, you know, we certainly shouldn't be cocky about this because they do control, the party controls both houses of Congress and the presidency. However, they still have to contend with a thorny issue of actually pleasing their voters, right?
That's right. Well, and that's the problem. I mean, look, at their ideas are basically, we're going to take health care away from millions of people so we can do tax cuts for the wealthy. And this latest foray into trying to repeal Obamacare, as they say, is driven by the President Trump wanting to have something done by his 100th day anniversary on Wednesday, and they're needing to clear the deck for tax reform so they can give even more tax cuts to the wealthy. This has very little to do with improving healthcare, and it certainly has nothing to do with guaranteeing people healthcare. In fact, it takes healthcare away. And they don't even know if this deal is going to work, Sonali. So I find these machinations at the federal level to be the rationale for why we've got to do our own program in California.
Now, California has attempted in the past to put forward a single-payer bill. It has failed twice. What is behind this latest push politically to get single-payer through? Does it have anything to do with what's happening at the federal level?
Absolutely it does. It's really that realization that if the federal government is going to withdraw support from universal health care, if it's going to take away subsidies, if it's going to mess with funding for Medi-Cal, Medicaid, then California is obligated, because Democrats have a two-thirds majority and the governorship, to design a healthcare program that guarantees healthcare as a human right to all Californians. But secondly, there's also the huge momentum, Sonali, from the Bernie Sanders presidential campaign, where he made Medicare for All a national issue. The bill in Congress, 676, has almost 100 co-sponsors. So the momentum
is... This is the federal version of a single-payer bill in Congress, right?
That's right. Yeah, H.R. 676, exactly, the Conyers bill. All to say that it is a reflection of national momentum, and it's a reflection that Californians want to take control of their own healthcare system and have a fundamentally different view from Washington.
So the political makeup in Washington is significantly different than the political makeup in Sacramento, quite the opposite, in fact. So Yeah. It's almost as though watching these two, opposite ends of the spectrum play out on the two opposite coasts, even. Of course, Washington's policy implications impact the entire country. So what specifically does SB 562, the single-payer bill for California, entail? The devil is always in the details.
That's right. Well, it sets up a system of guaranteed health care that consolidates all existing state and federal sources of revenue. It eliminates the insurance companies. It replaces those in premiums and deductibles and copays with a broad-based progressive financing mix. But keep in mind, 70% of personal health expenses in California are already paid by some form of taxpayer dollar. So we have comprehensive benefits, more comprehensive than the ACA. It's like Medicare in the sense that we will sit down and establish rates with providers, and we will eliminate all the overhead and administration and marketing costs of the insurance companies. And every Californian will be able to go to the doctor of their choice. It's complete choice of provider, not the faux choice of a health plan, but actual choice of being able to go to any doctor to meet your needs. So what we do is we separate paying for healthcare from getting the healthcare you need. Right now, you basically get all the healthcare you can afford. We want to make sure that patients get the healthcare they need. So we've set up this comprehensive benefit system, publicly financed, that guarantees healthcare, but the delivery of care remains private. So it is a mixed system in that sense, public financing, private delivery, mostly, but it does shore up the public health system as well.
And when you
It
say
will.
public, the delivery remains private, essentially that means that doctors aren't going to be, physicians aren't going to be working for the government. They're still going to be having their own practices, but they would get reimbursed by the government for their services.
Correct, exactly. It's really just like Medicare operates. And so you always hear people, oh my God, this is going to, blow up California. Well, no, it's like Medicare. The hospitals and doctors, to use a word, thrive under Medicare. And so we think that same approach will work in California.
And of course, from a physician's perspective, if such a system were to go through, no longer would can this patient afford this care be even a question, right?
That's right. That's right. Nor would they have an insurance company looking over their shoulder telling them what kind of treatment to do. Nor would they have an insurance company telling them when their patient has to leave the hospital. Nor will they have an insurance company denying them treatment. It puts the physicians and the clinical judgment of providers at the forefront of the healthcare system. So all this rhetoric about doctor-patient relationship, patient-centered care, freedom of choice. Only this type of system, SB 562 or Medicare, can deliver all those promises. So this is real freedom of choice. This is real health security.
What would happen to the health insurance industry in California within such a system?
Well, the health insurance industry, as it's presently organized, would change dramatically because they would no longer provide insurance for any service covered by this new program, which we call Healthy California. The insurance companies could provide supplemental benefits that aren't covered by the system, but it would be a drastic change. No longer would we be marketing health insurance plans like we do under the ACA. No longer would executives be making $30, $40 million that we're having to subsidize because they would no longer be part of the healthcare system in California. No longer would we pay for their 20 to 30% of overhead and administration and marketing. So it's a huge boon in that sense to get them out of the clinical decision making, get them out of the administrative waste and inefficiency.
Now, there's also a couple of other things that happen, right? Wouldn't this be a boon to businesses, particularly small businesses, because suddenly the cost of health benefits wouldn't be an issue when it comes to hiring. It also suddenly frees up individuals who might be sticking to a job they don't like simply because they're drawing benefits from that job, and those benefits are something they can't do without.
Exactly right. We sever the odd historic anomaly that health benefits were tied to employment. No other country does that. It obviously doesn't make sense because, as you say, it restricts your ability to leave jobs or to be able to really have that kind of freedom that we hear about in health when it comes to health policy. But you're right, the ripple effect of this kind of reform on the economy as a whole is tremendous. It frees up monies for wages. Right now, all the compensation is going into health insurance premiums. As the premiums go up, there's less and less wages, less and less money for wages. We change that. We shift that so that there is money for wages. You're right. So now people can not have to be tied to a job in order to keep their insurance. Small business folks who can't afford insurance now will have that burden lifted and they'll be able to get it for themselves and their employees. Businesses now who are spending 20% of their payroll on insurance will likely see that reduced dramatically, maybe by as much as half. So we believe all.
What about those people working in the health insurance industry? I mean, would they all suddenly be out of a job?
Well, there are definitely some jobs still remaining through just the administrative processes. But yes, we have a provision in the bill that we have to train those folks for new
Wow.
work. Yeah, so
That's
hopefully they can
amazing.
get work. Yeah, that's right. A just transition is our intent. Absolutely.
What about immigrants, particularly undocumented immigrants? California in the last few years has been relatively progressive compared to the rest of the state in terms of how immigrants can integrate into society, particularly now with being able to get driver's licenses, et cetera. Would this be, and of course, the cost of insurance, or the cost of rather emergency health care for immigrants who can't get insurance does cost the state quite a bit. Would this bill cover undocumented immigrants if it were to pass?
Yes, it would. And that's another fundamental difference. Is and that's why we believe this effort to win SB 562 in California represents a fight for an alternative vision of what our society should be. And that is a vision where we're all in this together, that we understand if you're sitting next to someone with the flu, in a park even, or in a crowded restaurant, you're going to get sick regardless of their immigration status. We are literally intertwined as human beings. And so we do have this different vision at the heart of our bill that we can guarantee health care for everybody regardless of immigration status, and that can set a new benchmark for a humane vision of society.
So I want to ask you about cost, and I want to preface my question with the fact that in my mind, the point of government is to take taxpayer dollars and translate that into benefits for people. So cost should not be an issue when you're talking about things that actually save people's lives, impact their health. But skeptics, those people who are fiscally conservative, like to measure even things that are beneficial to humans in terms of dollars and cents and hard costs. How do you win over the skeptics, including our own governor, who's kind of pointing a little bit in the direction of the high costs of this bill, that the costs either are not that high or would be worth it?
Well, the reality is that healthcare is expensive. And what we're really talking about is not is healthcare expensive, but how can you control costs going forward and what's the best way to finance it? And if 70% of the healthcare expenses are paid by tax dollars now, and yet we're wasting 20 to 30% when we spend it through insurance companies, it's obviously inefficient and wasteful. And so what the first thing we talk about is not does healthcare cost too much, but how do we cover everybody and finance it in a way that we can save money, control costs. And that's the debate we're going to have with the governor, and that's the debate we have with fiscal conservatives. If you want, the fiscal conservative argument is we just don't want government spending that money on healthcare. But as every other country has found, government spending on healthcare is actually the most efficient way to finance healthcare.
Because the
And
government isn't out to make a profit.
that's right. We don't have to pay the execs, we don't have to make the profit, we don't have to market. And so all of those things make this a much more efficient way to do it. It's funny because you look at these conservative arguments, really bureaucracy, inefficiency, lack of choice, lack of freedom, all those things can be overcome by 562 in California.
Yes, and of course, anybody who has a health plan is almost always restricted in their choice of physician anyway, restricted to what their health plan offers.
That's right. That's right. And that's choice. If you could just choose between one plan, right, and another, that's all you need. Well, as it turns out, when neither of those plans have the doctor you actually use, that's a problem.
Yeah. Now, Michael, the state level single payer has been attempted elsewhere. Massachusetts has tried it. Are there lessons that California could learn from states like Massachusetts that can make this a robust rollout of single payer?
I think so. We can learn that we need to, when we address the cost issue, we need to be very clear and show people that what they pay now versus what they'll pay under the current under the new system, and that savings is real. That's a key point. Secondly, we have to address those who already have insurance. It's not primarily an issue of covering the uninsured, because there actually has been coverage expansion, but the quality of that coverage, the character of the patient experience, the sustainability, and the increasing costs are the ones that drive the debate. And so we need to address those issues up front. And
And sorry, a
secondly,
quick correction. It's Vermont, not Massachusetts, that
right,
tried single
Vermont,
payer healthcare.
exactly.
Yes.
Yeah,
Go
and so
ahead.
in terms of Vermont, it is an apples and oranges comparison. I mean, there are more people who live in San Jose than who live in Vermont. So you can't really say that the Vermont experience is applicable in that sense. We're the sixth, fifth largest economy by GDP in the world. If other countries of comparable size or smaller can do it, we certainly can too. And that's the other argument. The whole argument is about whether you're going to spend this money through government or not. And we believe that the evidence is in our favor. that we can actually, and it goes against conventional wisdom, as you say, in this kind of anti-government paradigm, but government spending in healthcare is more efficient, and Medicare shows it. Their overhead is 3 to 4%. Insurance company overhead is 20 to 30%.
Wow. How different is SB 562, this new California bill, from the previous attempts? And previously, when there was Democratic control of the legislature and a Republican governor, the bill passed twice, was simply vetoed by then Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger. Is this bill any different? Could we find ourselves in a situation where the legislature passes it and the Democratic governor vetoes it?
Well, let's hope not. Let's hope not, because our belief has been that the support of the governor is crucial, and we're going to do everything we can to get that support. And so we do not believe that that is a settled question by any means, and we think the numbers will be in our favor, and we can prove it to him. But I think that the experience is that we have to build the political momentum. We have to. This has to be a as you say, as a rising up of folks who demand guaranteed health care as a right. That's what Senator Sanders campaigned on. 80% of Democrats support it. A majority of Trump voters support it. A majority of Republicans earning under $30,000 support it. You've got independent, a majority of independents. The tide has shifted. And that's the political moment we find ourselves in. And so when these other states have done it, or when California has done it before, it's been a different dynamic. And now we know that Washington is going to make healthcare worse. We know the Republicans are either going to nickel and dime the ACA to death, or they're going to outright repeal it and replace it with something leaner and meaner. So in that sense, we go back to what's different from the prior attempts. This now, California is going to have to design its own healthcare system simply to preserve what it has, let alone establish one that's sustainable and just. So I think the dynamic in that sense is very different, but we do confront challenges with gubernatorial leadership. And we're going to take those on. We're going to take those on politically. We're going to be at the Democratic convention on May 19th. We're going to be in the halls of the Capitol. We're going to be on the streets. We've been canvassing in election districts all over the state. In Southern California, we built a broad coalition with the State Federation of Labor, the Business Alliance for Healthy California, Our Revolution, California Council of Church Impact, all the single payer community, California Nurses Association is the lead sponsor. So we are building a broad, even broader movement than we've seen before.
How important is the leadership of some of the lawmakers behind this, like Ricardo Lara and Tony Atkins, who've really been pushing hard and, spoken at rallies, et cetera?
Ricardo Lara carried the Health for All bill, which expanded health coverage to undocumented kids under 18 and under. And that has been part of the inspiration for doing this, is that to complete that work, really the only way to cover the undocumented folks, from his perspective, is to do this type of Medicare for All program. His leadership is crucial. Having Tony Atkins, Senator Atkins, on this bill, who's the former Speaker of the Assembly, is a tremendous signal of leadership, and she is deeply engaged. So I think we owe a real debt of gratitude to these legislators who have stepped up and said, we actually, California can set a different standard. So I think that leadership's been crucial.
And of course, there are a lot of rallies that'll be taking place up and down the state. A lot of people outside of California will be eyeing what is taking place in California. Where can people find out more online, whether they're in California or not, about SB 562 and the attempt to pass it?
Great, thank you. Healthyca.org. That's healthyca.org, has information on all the background on the bill, the text of the bill, the campaign, upcoming events. We're going to have our first hearing on April 26th. That's next Wednesday in Sacramento at 1:30. We're going to be in the streets before that with a big rally. So join us in Sacramento on Wednesday. And then you can see a campaign calendar of all the other events too at healthyca.org.
Michael, I want to thank you so much for joining us. Good luck to you.
Thank you, Sonali. Appreciate it.
My guest is Michael Leidy, Director of Public Policy at National Nurses United. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.